Hello, Martin. Well, hello. Let me offer you a particularly warm welcome if you're a guest with us this morning. It's great to have you. My name's Mike, and I'm the pastor of the church here. As Andrew said, we're going to look at that passage from Luke chapter 18, that quite famous parable. I wonder if, even if you don't come to church regularly, you may have heard that before, a parable of a Pharisee and a tax collector. Before we look at that, though, I want to show you this. It's a rejection letter for a job application that I came across recently. Let me read it to you. It's a rejection letter from Cadbury's on letterheaded paper, and attached in the top right-hand corner, connected to it by a paperclip, is a £5 note. Here's how this rejection letter goes. Dear Mr. Jones, we regret to inform you that your application for the position of Global Quality Manager has been unsuccessful. We don't normally respond to unsuccessful applicants, but in your case, we've made an exception in order to return the £5 note you attached to the reference section of your application under the line, Elizabeth, wink, wink. Some notes regarding your application, and what follows are bullet-pointed. Firstly, listing super-secret spy work I legally can't talk about as your previous experience won't fool anyone, and won't help with an application to Cadbury's. Secondly, in the future, you may want to refrain from using sentences like, come on, let me be a part of this awesome gig you've got going on. Thirdly, eBay feedback isn't a relevant reference. And fourthly and finally, your attached sketch of an everlasting chocolate bar was unwarranted, absurd, and quite frankly, it scared us a little. We wish you all the best in your future endeavours. Sincerely, oh, there we go, Alan Castle. Well, look, the funny thing about the Christian faith is, from my perspective at least, just how misunderstood it can be. There are lots of folks, my friends, my family, the people that live around me, who seem to view the Christian faith at times as if it's almost like a job application where we have to somehow show our worth. We come before God and show him that we are good, that we can earn our way into his good books by trying hard. And if we just try hard enough to be good people, then possibly, hopefully, we can get right with God. And of course, if we add a £5 note to the application form, well, all the better. But of course, that's not what the Christian faith is about. In fact, it's almost the complete opposite of that, certainly as Jesus himself presents it to us in the parable that we'll look at. In the parable that we'll see this morning, Jesus makes it very clear what's needed for people like you and me to get right with God. The parable that we'll read is a story of two guys, two men who come to pray to God, two very different men. One is a committed man, a deeply religious man. He is a pillar of the community, a fine, upstanding citizen. That's the Pharisee. The other guy who comes to pray that particular morning is a crook and a scoundrel. He's a tax collector. And that's certainly how they were viewed in the ancient world. He worked for the Roman authorities and he skimmed off a profit from the taxes he collected, keeping it for himself. He was wealthy off his ill-gotten gains. He was a hate figure then to the crowds that Jesus first spoke to. They both go and pray, this Pharisee and tax collector. But here's what we're going to see as we read the story. Only one of them ends up getting right with God. Only one of them ends up being on good terms with God. If you were a betting person, I wonder who your money would be on, at the religious man or the crook. Well, let's read from Luke chapter 18 and verse 9 and see how the story goes. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Listen, if you're familiar with a parable, if you knew the punchline that was coming, I guess it's easy to miss the shock that would have reverberated around the crowd when Jesus first stood and told this story. Shock that the good guy, the religious man, that the red-hot favourite, the dead cert, has just lost. And it's the tax collector who leaves on the right terms with God. It is a shocking parable. And understanding it today means we must understand the shock that those first people first felt. Jesus wants us to understand that this Pharisee who demonstrates a religious commitment that would put the Dalai Lama in the shade, he's the one who leaves church with God as his enemy. And it's the tax collector who goes home with God as his friend. Let's think about this story just very simply as we look at the two people under these two headings. Firstly, the wrong way to get right with God. The wrong way to get right with God. See, the reason that the ends are so different for the two men is to be found in the prayers that the two men pray. Two very different men praying two very different prayers. And it's their prayers that show what they think about themselves and about their God. We start then with a prayer that the Pharisee prays in verse 11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. I guess some of those terms are perhaps a bit unfamiliar to us today, but here's the key thing. He's certain that he and God are on close speaking terms, isn't he? He's confident that God must think he's doing pretty well. And you can see why he's confident. Can you see as he explains where his confidence lies? I thank you that I'm not like other people, he says. That's the heart of this. His prayer has become a chance for him to reassure himself that everything must be okay with God because there are an awful lot of people out there who are far worse than he is. If God suddenly were to speak from heaven and to ask the Pharisee, why should I let you into my heaven? Well, the Pharisee would point to himself and then to all the other people around him and say, well, I'm certainly no worse than any of them. And to be honest, I think I'm doing quite a lot better than most of them. I think I've earned my place in your heaven, Lord. I think I'm good enough. And I guess we might say that there's a sense in which he's right. He perhaps isn't like some of the other men around him. He has tried to live a good life. He hasn't cheated on his wife or on his tax returns. He's tried hard to be good. But he is wrong in assuming that therefore he is right with God. You see, throughout the Bible, we're told that we're not to compare ourselves with one another on some relative scale of morality. None of the standards that matter most are not ours and the ones we choose, but God's perfect standards. And the thing that God asks of us is not so much in the first instance, do not murder and do not steal, though he does ask that of all his creatures. Now, the foremost thing God asks of us is that we love him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Put no other gods before me, he says. Don't worship anything man-made, not wealth, not careers, not family, not friends. The very first thing that God asks of me and you is that we love him above all else. And on that score, it's not just the Pharisee, but you and me as well, who fall far short of God's standards. Which brings us, of course, then to the second character in the story, the tax collector. And he could barely be more different as he illustrates to us the right way to get right with God. The right way to get right with God. The tax collector, first of all, did you notice in the story, stands at a distance. And he can't even look up to heaven as he prays. It's as if he can't bring himself to make eye contact with God. He's ashamed. In fact, the only thing he can do is ask God to forgive him. Did you see that in verse 13, that prayer that he prays? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Isn't that a very different prayer to the prayer the Pharisee prayed? Isn't it the complete opposite of the prayer the Pharisee prayed? Because the tax collector shows that his hope is not in himself. It's not in his own goodness, as if he could somehow win God's favor. And it's his prayer, really, his attitude, that's the key to him leaving, being right with God. Because the tax collector realized that this is something that lots of folks never fully understand about the Christian faith, which is the Christian faith isn't in the first instance about trying harder to be a better person. No, it's what the tax collector saw. It's about being honest before God about our shortcoming and asking him to forgive us. And then finding that forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ and so being made right with God. That's what the tax collector saw. That's what Tim, Kate, and Shelby have testified to this morning. That's what I came to saw all those years ago when I became a Christian at university. That's what I hope you see this morning for yourself. Christians don't claim to be the most religious people around. Christians don't claim to be the most morally good people around. In fact, Christians don't claim to be good people at all, just forgiven people. Christians are those who recognize that we can't be good enough for God on our own. That's what Shelby and Tim and Kate have come to realize for themselves. That's what they're saying to us, both in their testimonies and in their act of being baptized this morning. And so if God were to ask them, why should I let you into my heaven, Tim and Kate and Shelby? They will have an answer ready, but it won't be the same answer that the Pharisee would give. They won't point to themselves and then to the people around them and say that they've earned a place because they're good or at least better than most. No, not at all. They will point to Jesus and say that they don't deserve a place, but that they've asked for forgiveness for their shortcoming and that Jesus has taken the punishment they deserve at the cross so that they might go free. So that that place in heaven might be purchased for them, not by themselves, but by their Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. On that day, when God asks them, why should I let you into my heaven? They will point to Jesus and say, they know they can come in because Jesus has forgiven them. That's the lesson, isn't it, that Jesus wants you and I and all of us to draw from the parable this morning. You can see the conclusion there in the text for yourselves. This is how Jesus draws his lesson to a close. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Well, let me offer you a piece of advice. You may well need to demonstrate your worth if you want to be the global quality manager at Cadbury's, and I suspect the bribe that you'd need to offer should be a lot bigger than the £5 Mr. Jones tried. But getting right with God is not along the same path at all. It is not about demonstrating your goodness. For you and I, for Shelby and Tim and Kate, getting right with God is simply about acknowledging our shortcoming and asking his forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we, as we close. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, would you spare us the error that's so prevalent around and help us to realize the true nature of the Christian faith. Help us to recognize that we are not and could never be good enough for God, but that in the Lord Jesus Christ we might find forgiveness and new spiritual life. Grant us that life in him as we come with repentance for our sins and faith in Christ, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.